everyone. This is episode 379 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Cusinez, and today, I'm so tired. I am so exhausted, and tomorrow I'm heading out of town, so I want to get an episode up, but I haven't done that much. I played Stardew Valley when I'm not working, and when I'm not playing Stardew Valley, I'm not playing anything. Well, I'm playing Gems of War when I eat, but nobody wants to hear about that. The game I put like 180 hours into, or some ridiculous number, which is not right. 180 days. So multiply that by 24, and you get a number. You get like 2400, and then you get 80. But yeah, I also been watching movies as well, doing that. And I don't think I know anyone else who is a Virgin Mobile subscriber. But I have been a Virgin Mobile subscriber, user, for over a decade now. And I really like the service because it's been fairly cheap. You don't have to pay the regular mobile taxes. So it's just like paying your bill you pay sales tax on, which is nice. Especially in Illinois, because the tax, when you take the state and federal together, I believe it's just under 25%, which is a pretty penny. That is a high tax. So they just changed everything overnight, no warning. And it's kind of weird. It's now called the Inner Circle. The Inner Circle, ooh. And there's only one plan. Unlimited everything. $5. That's not right. $50. I'm like, $5, unlimited everything? That's a steal. Though, technically, the first 12 months, if you subscribe, whether you're new or existing, I believe, I don't think it's different, before July 27th or something, you get the first 12 months for $1. Though you still have to pay the tax each month. And they only sell iPhones now. No Android. They said they'll still, I don't know, whatever, something with Android for the rest of the year, but that seems weird, and I don't know if they'll be changing their plan system as the year progresses, because I know they said later on in the fall they'll be selling refurbished iPhones. Currently they have the SE up to the 7, and they will get the 8 when it comes out, and now also the phones are at least much easier to not jailbreak's not the right term, to unlock and take to other services and whatnot. So that's good. And the phone prices aren't terrible. I think they're like $50 or maybe even $100 cheaper than usual MSRP. And the SE is currently $270 for the 32 gigabyte and $370 for the 128. And now I'm getting a phone call from my dad.
He's a ninja! Shing.
Anywho, where was I? Something about Virgin Mobile, iPhones. Yeah, the pricing's not terrible. And then on top of all this, with your plan, you get certain perks like... And I didn't read all the details, but I didn't understand, or I don't know if they really elaborated. But it said you get a free night in Virgin Mobile, not Virgin, but Virgin Hotels or whatever. But I thought I saw conflicting reports where one said you get an extra night when you book one night, or one that just said you get a free night. You don't have to pay in. Like, if that's true, then that's not bad. I'll use that if there's a Virgin. I'm assuming there's probably a Virgin Hotel in Chicago. I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll go downtown. You get discount on airplane tickets, trips to the UK on Virgin Atlantic. You can get a free companion ticket, which isn't bad. But it's just weird. It's really weird that they just change everything overnight and that they really limited the amount of options by only having the iPhone and only having this one plan. Because I don't need unlimited data. I don't do that much data. And especially... And maybe it's because they realized a lot of people were using a lot of data after they, with the previous plan, were giving away, not giving away, but data used for streaming music on the most popular platforms would not count against your data cap. So maybe they just realized that that's what people use a lot of data for, and they were taking a hell of a wash on that. But that's weird, annoying, because I'd prefer a cheaper plan. But of course, it's $1 for the first year, which isn't bad. The price of an SE isn't bad, which is the phone I'd like, and I need to get a new one because mine is acting funky. But it's just weird. It's really weird. And I still don't know how I feel about it. The only positive I have in this is that announcing something like this and making such a drastic change means, hopefully, like, I've been concerned for a while that Virgin might be going out of business, Virgin Mobile. And this makes me feel like, well, maybe they'll still be around. Maybe not. This doesn't mean anything. It could be end up a huge failure. But so far, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. I'm wondering what the reaction will be from new customers, because I think a lot of existing customers are really annoyed. I almost bought a phone a few days ago to replace mine, and if I had, I would have been really annoyed because it would have cost more, and I don't know if that phone would have been eligible on this. Like, it's all weird, and I think the fact that they didn't make any mention of it, or I don't think they ever even made any mention of, okay, drastic changes are coming, that it really, they, I assume their customer service has just been busy as all hell, because I can only imagine how many people are pissed off to not have known about this, especially those who have bought Android phones, whether it's in the last month or two or the last few days. I would have been so pissed off if I bought a phone the day before this announcement happened, especially if it was an Android. It's just weird the way they handled it. But hopefully they do right by their customers. And, you know, whether people want refunds or whatnot, hopefully they do that really well. But yeah, Stardew Valley. So I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley. Like I said, it's the only thing I've really been playing since the last episode, when I'm not working. And I'm digging it. There's a lot of monotony in it, but I like that. That's why I like these farming games like Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing. Those games are all about monotony and just doing repetitive tasks and selling, you know, collecting resources to sell to get money so you can pay off house upgrades or other purchases, and making relationships with the townsfolk, and in some aspects, not in Animal Crossing, but in Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley, finding a companion to settle down with and marry. Though I don't believe, actually, I'm not really sure if you can have a same-sex relationship in Stardew Valley, because I'm not pursuing that, because that's not the way I'm aligned in real life. So I'm not going to do that in the game, because I'm role-playing it and all. But the art's nice, music's nice, and the mechanics are solid. I am a bit annoyed by the use of an on-screen cursor, because I'm playing on Xbox One, because it went on sale for 25% off. Not a huge sale, but I basically said, whenever it goes on sale, I don't care how small it is, I will finally purchase it, because I wish I had purchased it at launch, but when I waited too long, I just felt like I waited too long, and that I wouldn't be able to justify paying full price, because I would constantly expect it to go on sale the week after I did that. So, yeah. Funny thing about it, I haven't been doing much farming in the game, because I'm basically waiting for my farming skill to improve enough so I can build this more powerful sprinkler, because I don't like watering plants. That's what I hate about the farming bit. Like, I don't mind planting crops and harvesting them and all that, but I don't want to water them, because it uses up energy, which is probably the most valuable resource that you have for your own personal character, because that's a limited resource, which you can replenish with food and whatnot, but you use it whenever you're mining, whether you're, you don't use it when you're attacking, which is surprising. And also maybe it's because that would be really brutal on you. But when you're mining, using the axe, hoeing, you're definitely going to use a lot of energy hoeing, and fishing. I haven't really ventured too much into fishing either, just because I don't love the system, which is you have like a bar, and then you have to keep the fish inside this little bar in there, and the way you move that bar, just it doesn't feel that great. But it's okay. But I've been doing a lot of mining, because you go into the mines, there's a mine in the game with, I believe, 120 levels, and then you get a skeleton key at the bottom of it, which unlocks a mine later on in the desert. And one of the things I like is that the game does gradually open up, and you get new areas, and having played it for over 30 hours at this point, there's still new things I'm finding, and I like that. And it's nice to just go into the game fresh, not have any kind of guide or be spoiled on anything, though it's not really a game you could be spoiled on, but just going into it fresh and seeing all these different things is fun. But I've been doing a lot of mining just because I like that. I like the adventuring feel to that, and going to these different levels, finding resources like gold ores and iron ores. The occasional rubies and diamonds. Every time I find a little diamond collection, I get super excited. There are slimes and ghosts and bats and these little weird ghastly figures. I enjoy fighting them. It's a very simple system. You're basically just attacking. You can block with your sword, but it's not the greatest system. You're just basically hacking and slashing at them, and if you can constantly hit them, they will not be able to attack you, because they'll always get a little knockback, pretty much. There are quests in the game as well, whether it's to go into the mine and defeat certain enemies or collect resources or to get a certain type of food or whatever for the townsfolk. And there is JoJo Mart, which is their big superstore that you can support or not. I have not purchased anything there. I purchased a JoJo Cola once because someone requested it and I had no choice. I mean, I could have not done the request, but I want that person to like me more. I'm about building my relationships with these people. But other than that, I haven't supported that site. I'm trying to rebuild the community center, which is fun. That is all about collecting and putting these specific resources in these specific rooms to renovate them basically back to the way they were, and those will unlock certain things like I believe the one that is the bank. Once you complete that room, it unlocks the bus, which can take you to the desert where you can get certain fruit and whatnot that you can't get other places, and there's a store there. And I guess a nightclub that unlocks later, as well as the Skull Cavern, which you can go to once you complete the regular mine, which is just more difficult and has more better resources. But yeah, I've just been doing a lot of mining, occasional farming, and a bit with animals. Though I'm going to say this right now, the animal bit's super annoying. Not because the animals are annoying. Well, first, the pet, you get a pet. You say in the beginning if you prefer cats or dogs, and then you'll get a pet. And I think you can decline it. Why would you? I don't know. But the pet is absolutely useless. All you do is pet it every day, and it gives you the heart. And it's like, okay, you like me, and I'll fill this little water dish back by the area where you stay. And then that's it. It doesn't go with you anywhere. You can't feed it anything. It doesn't do anything. And it's super annoying because I have this cat that I can't do anything with. That sucks. Two, the animals that you get for your barn, you first have to construct these buildings, the barn and the coop and etc., a horse, little thing, whatever. But you can only get the animals by purchasing from this lady named Marnie, and she's never fucking home to let me buy in my fucking animals. It drove me nuts. It took me like a week and a half in game time, not real life, to get her at a time when she was at home to buy some fucking chickens for the fucking coop I built for the fucking chickens I wanted so I could get eggs, because I don't remember why I wanted eggs. I just wanted eggs because I think I just wanted animals because those would be easier to deal with. And now I have a barn and I'm trying to get a cow, but I can't get a cow because she's never fucking home. I keep going there. She's never there. And one time she was there and I was standing at a register and I'm like, come on, I want to buy some cows. And she just walked right past me out of her fucking front door because she's the fucking worst. I hate her. I hate Marnie so much, but I still want her to like me. So I'll give her shit every now and again. I don't remember what she likes. I think she likes animal shit. She might like eggs. I don't know. But yeah, I have four chickens right now. I'm not sure what their lifespan is. So I'm like, they're probably going to die at some point, but I named them, Tender, Biscuit, Little, and Nugget. So I got Chicken Tender, Chicken Little, Chicken Nugget, and Chicken Biscuit. I know technically it's Chicken in a Biscuit, which are these crackers that are probably disgusting, but I love them as a kid. I don't know if those are across the entire country or not, or if Chicken Biscuit's more of like a Midwestern thing. Either way, I have my chickens. I love my chickens. And I was really scared one time when I accidentally opened the door on their coop and they all went out to free range and I didn't have a gate or anything, I didn't have a fence area off for them. So they were just wild. They weren't going to go back in the coop, but they went back. So that's good. And then I closed it and then I built a fence and now they're always free ranging except for, in winter where they don't like to do that. And also it's winter. I want to buy a heater for my coop so my chickens will stay warm, but I can't. Because Marnie's not fucking in a goddamn fucking house, so I can buy that fucking heater from that fucking stupid woman. God, fucking Marnie. Marnie suck. Marnie sucks in Stardew Valley, and when Marnie was there, was an okay Studio Ghibli film. It's just okay. You know what it was? Very, very pretty. Beautiful skies. Maybe the most beautiful skies in all of anime, but the story was a mess. It was really good for maybe the first two-thirds, where it was paced really slowly and just moved at a very slow pace and was very pleasant. And then it was just like, it. And it just decided, let's just throw all this shit and just get it over with. Rush the rest of it. Is it the mess? Absolute mess. But very pretty. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about because Marnie pissed me off so much. And my romance is Penny. Because she's so delightful and she loves books and she's really pretty. She's the one who lives in the trailer with her mom. And it's kind of sad because she even talks about, it's kind of embarrassing being the only family who lives in a trailer in town and all this. But yeah, all the romance options are pretty good other than Haley, who's a very superficial bitch. But yeah, the one thing that I'm surprised by is the writing, which is pretty solid. And that there are these deeper storylines that happen, which is nice. And I like that the game has a lot going on and doesn't feel the need to throw it all at you all at once. It's paced pretty well, though I've heard once you've reached year three, then nothing new story-wise or anything like that happens, and you're just basically left to continue with your farming and all that, and just building your farm and making more money and all that, which is fine by me. I'm just glad that there isn't a clear end where the game just stops and you can't progress anymore. So if the story and all that kind of jazz ends at a point, that's fine. You know, that makes sense. But as long as I can keep just with all the monotony, I'm pretty happy with it. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it so far. Have I picked it up? And yeah, I should probably just stop playing it at some point though, so I can play other things. But I'm really enjoying it, and I will probably buy it again on Switch unless it's priced ridiculous. If it's priced at $30, then no, I'm not going to do it if it has the Switch tax. But if it's the same price as it is everywhere else, I'll pick it up because it'd be nice to have a portable version of it. And I wouldn't mind supporting this developer a second time. But yeah, that's pretty much all that I've been playing game-wise. I do need to get a Steam card before the Steam sale ends because I have to pick up Way of the Samurai 3 and 4 on Steam because I believe they're only on PS3 and my PS... I don't trust my PS3, and you know what? I'd just rather play those on PC with an Xbox One controller anyway. Moving on. Just a brief touching of anime. Still watching Grand Blue Fantasy, the animation. I'm an episode behind now, and I'm just surprised by that series. I'm surprised that it is as good as it is, and that I am as entertained and as invested in the characters as I am. Like I said, I think it's really pretty. I really like the art style and the way it's drawn and all that. And sometimes animation can be really nice. Sometimes it's not so nice. And it's clear that they're either rushing it or just don't have the same budget as other series. But sometimes it looks really good. But I'm just surprised by how much I like most of the characters. Vern or whatever that flying thing is has, I don't want to say he's grown on me, but he's much more tolerable than I thought he would end up being when I first started. I thought he'd be really annoying, but he's fine. You know, the voice acting can be a little bit much, but overall he's much more tolerable than I thought. And Io is a little annoying because she's just on the younger side and the child of the bunch, the baby of the bunch, but she's not awful either. She has a good heart. And it's amusing seeing her interact with, I forget his name, but the older gent who she always I think she always calls him like grandpa or whatever, just calls him an old dude or something. She just makes fun of the fact that he's older than her, or the oldest one there. But I think it has a decent sense of humor when he gets a little bit humorous. And the characters, the main protagonist, the crew, as you could put it, is all really, really good. And I'd say the one thing that it has against it is that I don't feel any strong antagonists in the overall series. I don't feel the presence of anything, of any strong force that is really detrimental or just frightening or anything. In part because the last few episodes are making it out to seem like Lyria is the real danger because she has this great power within her that could explode at any point. But she has better control over it at this point. Anyway, it's a surprisingly solid show. I'm liking it way more than I ever thought I would, especially that it's based on a mobile game. I would definitely recommend checking it out if you haven't. And I actually kind of hope it gets a second season because I want to see where this story goes, because it is clear that this is just the beginning. There's one episode left of the season, and it's clear that, you know, this is not going to end in this season. You're not going to get a real satisfying conclusion. And then I finished The Royal Tutor, which, another pleasant surprise. I love the dry sense of humor. Something you don't see enough of in anime. I enjoy the art, surprisingly enough, even though it has this aesthetic that is clearly like, hey, look at how pretty all these boys are. But it, I don't know why it works, but it works. I love the design of Haine, the tutor. And it had a solid end of the season of the series. I don't expect any, they could get another season, but as a standalone series, if that's what it ends up being, solid. I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, I it's another series I highly recommend that I think people may have skipped or just looked at and like, oh, whatever. This is just another show about pretty boys, but it's not really that. It's got some serious things going on, but is also quite humorous in a way that is really good. That dry sense of humor. Not, oh, let's just be very slapsticky or very cheap and lazy. It's a little bit clever and funny in that. It's just amusing. I like it. And then I finally watched 127 Hours. And by watched, I mean I struggled to get through it because it was just... it's one of the toughest movies I've had to watch. In part because I just knew that eventually there was going to be an amputation scene. And I didn't want to watch that. And I wasn't going to watch it. And when that scene came up, I turned the volume down almost completely. And only kind of looked at it through the corner of my eye. And just constantly saw red and more red and red. And then when I saw him pull away from the rock, then I was like, okay, looks like I can start watching again. And if you don't know what the movie is or don't remember, it's from Danny Boyle, who's directed a lot of great things. Trainspotting, Sunshine, Slumdog Millionaire, 28 Days Later, etc., 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 etc. Why did I say etc. more than once? You don't need to. But it's the story about, I can't remember his name even though I just watched it, but that young man who was an adventurer. He liked to go climbing, you know, rock climbing and all that kind of jazz. And he fell into this little area of this whatever deserty area, and his arm got lodged between a rock wall and then a rock that fell when he fell. And he was there for 127 hours. He didn't have that much water, that much food. And eventually, to save himself, because there's no way he had, I don't know if they ever showed like if he had a phone with him or not. But it either didn't have any I think maybe it just didn't have reception, because when he was finally free and found some people, they didn't have reception on their phone. But he basically had to cut off his own arm to save his life. And he did this by first breaking the bones in it and then cutting it with a very dull little cheap knife. And it's a very somewhat inspirational movie. It's very well done. And the parts where they have these kind of hallucinations and premonitions and stuff, and just it's a very tense movie, even though it's mostly just what's his face, James Franco, who plays the character by himself in this tiny little cavern thing with his arm lodged against a wall between a rock and a hard place, literally. But he does a great job in the role, and I don't typically love James Franco. And it's just, it's a very tense, engaging movie that for the most part it's kind of hard to watch, I find, if you're somebody who doesn't really like gore and just is very, very sort of on edge while watching stuff like that. But also it's hard to not watch it. It's hard to look away, except for the part where he amputates. That's easy to look away because I don't see that disgusting shit. But yeah, it was really well done. And I'm kind of glad I finally watched it. I'm just glad that the amputation scene wasn't as bad as I thought. Even, you know, looking at it in the corner of my eye, I think there was a lot of red, but I don't know if they showed as much as I thought they were, or as some of the things I read said they did. And I turned on the volume because they said there was a lot of screaming and noises associated with it. That was kind of worse when they would cut away or something and you would just hear noises. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. But yeah, I definitely recommend checking out 127 Hours if you have a strong stomach and you're interested in seeing that story. Yeah, so that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I'm excited to end it so I can turn my fan back on because it's getting hot in here. Once again, though, let's just get it over with. I don't want to start singing some shitty Nelly song. I almost started singing. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Cugnez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, and all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am the Kush 3. This side is, of course, pixelated sausage, where it's pixelated sausage, but it's pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, as well as the art I do, which you can see all of it in one place by going to pxsart.com. And if you'd like to pick up a print or two, there are links associated with every single picture, or you can just go over to pprints.pxsart.com and check them all out over there. You should also check out some other podcasts as well, friends of the Pixelated Sausage family, like the Sports Car Unleashed podcast over at scunleashed.com, the Crazy Sunshine podcast over at something.com, probably crazysunshinepodcast.com or something like that. Everything's on iTunes, and also their own Deed podcast. Everything is on iTunes. You should rate and review and subscribe to shows on there, because that really does help all shows, especially this one. And if you don't want to use iTunes, there's also Stitcher Radio, Google Play Store, Player FM, Stitcher Radio. Basically anywhere you'd want to listen to the show, you can. And hopefully you do. And hopefully you like it. And you tell your friends about it, and they like it too. And you're all like, I like this. And they're like, I like it too. And then you all have a grand old happy day. Anyway, that'll do it. Bye!